The most entertaining Iowa podcast on the market. You found a conversation between Kevin and I where we are going to break down Spring Bowl, the KF Spring Presser, some of the biggest storylines going into these 5 weeks of developmental football. We also give our opinions on the McCollum hire. Not a basketball podcast, but fun and exciting to talk about, and plenty of other topics as well. Welcome to the show. Sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in to the Washed Up Walk-Ons. If you're on the YouTube, you can see one person. That's just me. If you're listening, it is currently just me in the studio right now. Kevin will be joining us shortly. At least that's what he told me. Going to jump on myself. Don't worry. If you're a I Hate Tyler Kluver guy, I come for the other people. I come for the guests. I come for the information, the conversation. You'll get that in a second. I'm going to start this off with a couple bookkeeping housekeeping items. Kevin will jump in. We're going to podcast about a lot of things today. Several things. This isn't a basketball podcast. However, a lot of basketball hype, excitement in the state around the University of Iowa this week as Ben McCollum has officially, I guess last week as you're hearing this, this is old news. I know people are going to be like, hey, you can't talk about it. It's old news by the time you get to it. Don't talk about it. I've already heard all this stuff. Don't care. Because that's how this podcast works. Still relevant. Okay. We're going to talk about the McCollum hire and just my opinion of it as a former athlete of the university that has nothing to do with basketball. I think it's very fun and exciting. There's people who, you know, had their opinions about Fran needs to go. He could stay, like all this different stuff. It's done and over with. And I think the best thing from my perspective on this, and I hope that it goes this way with football as well when the time comes, is that things are done quickly, things are transparent, and you get the guy you want. And it feels like that's what they've done. Beth Getz, it feels like that's what she's done. I know there was a lot of back and forth about the DeVries stuff. He went to Indiana, made it easy. McCollum could have been the first choice. Who knows? Regardless, the gold tie and white t-shirt come to Iowa City. And I'll show Kevin here in a second. I'll show the rest of you here in a second on the YouTube. If he jumps in, we got a little merch piece coming down the line. You can have your Hawks by a Million Ben McCollum tie t-shirt in Carver Hawkeye next year. We could deck the place out. I think it would be very cool. Yes, we're just hopping on the bandwagon. We're like, just like Ray Gun does, we're just trying to jump on the other people's stuff and sell merch to effect in it. So we'll show that in a second when Kevin joins. By the way, join the Army. And subscribe, dude, guys. If you're listening to this right now, pause, go to the YouTubes, sign into your YouTube account, sign into your grandma's YouTube account, your mom's, your sister's, subscribe to the channel. Grab an email that you use for spam or that is no longer active, you don't use it anymore, make a new email. Sign up for a YouTube account, subscribe to the walk-ons. We are so damn close to 4,000 subscribers. Does that mean anything? No, other than it looks cool. The faster we can get to 4,000 means it's the faster we get to 5,000. And when you get to 5,000, the ball starts rolling a little bit more. That takes you to 10. And when you get to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube, things really take off. And we're just trying to do numbies around here. Okay. That's all we want. That's all we want is numbies. Speaking of, had a cool little, no one cares about this, but had a cool little thing today where I signed into a back-end account on one of the former platforms we used to use. You guys would, it doesn't matter. It's just a hosting platform we use. I found an extra 600,000 downloads of our podcast. So shout out to you guys for being savages. I like to keep a running tally of the total number of downloads as close as I can get because we have shifted platforms a couple times, shifted networks. And that was a significant boost, over 500,000 that I just found sitting there. So I'm going to have to tally that up, but shout out to you guys for continuing to listen to the show. If you love the show, again, subscribe, get us to the 4K, then just consider, especially if you're watching the show, the YouTube has grown immensely over the past year, and part of that is we've been putting in an effort to do that. Up here on the left, join the Army. little QR code. Scan that QR code. That will take you to our Patreon page. I know we mention it a lot, right? And it's kind of in passing a lot of the time. And for those of you that never really pay attention, I just listen in for a quick second. I want to sell you on this. I'm not here just to take your money. In fact, we don't, as a company, we don't make any of the money that goes through this avenue of whatever you want to call it. Money, the income arm of the Patreon is not where we make our money. I do pay myself, comes from the ad revenue, the sponsorships, Iowa Egg Council down here. We'll talk about them in a little bit. And the merchandise is 50-50. The Patreon, most of that half of that goes to the UI Children's Hospital. The other half is pretty much our operating costs for the year. Okay, so imagine this. You subscribe to the Patreon. At the very top level, which there's only 50 spots for our best subscribers, there's a reason for that because I send out a bunch of free items to those guys throughout the year. And there's some other perks as well. Even at the second level down, $12 a month, you can subscribe for a year up front and you can get 2 months off. So $120 for the year. You're going to pay 10 months for an annual subscription, $120. That's going to get you ad-free listening. Through this platform, you're going to be able to download our show's feed, which, by the way, there's going to be extra podcasts for me and Grant each week on there that don't show up on the normal feed. And the regular episodes like this one, you're going to get ad-free. It's not going to cut you out at the 20 and 40 minute mark and send some ad reads about McDonald's and the smoke shop down the road and whatever else they're advertising. I don't even know what ads get slotted in there. So ad-free, you're going to get the episodes a day, sometimes a couple days early because we are pre-recorded on this thing. You're going to get discounts to our merchandise. Again, fun things coming down the line, especially as we get further into the year towards the football season. And you're giving to a good cause. You're actually helping this show stand up as well. There's an operating cost, as I mentioned. So just consider it. It's $120. You get to basically count that as your donation to charity. You get some pretty sweet perks along with it. Extra podcasts, ad-free listening, all this stuff. Just saying, scan that QR code. It goes to a good cause. And I'd like to think we're a good cause. We try to do a good job around here. Anyway, moving forward from that, we're going to talk a little bit about, one last thing on the basketball. It's very cool that Bennett Sturts is coming. I think it's going to be electric to see that kid in the black and gold. McCollum's opening press conference, which I think he killed, and everybody kind of saying this like A+ grand slam, knocked the press conference out of the park. I think he really did. I don't think it's hard to do. You stand up and you tell the people what they want to hear. But I think he did that in a really authentic way. And I think you can hear through his opening statement and the questions that he answered, the authenticity around him being the coach in Iowa City. He was obviously born there. It feels great for him. And you can hear this through the enthusiasm that he talked about the team and the city with and the fans. It feels good. It feels like a different kind of sense of pride for him to lead this program. There's X's and O's that you could get into if this was a basketball podcast, but he's a defensive guy. He is a guy who is going to work on efficiency. Hey, are we saying some buzzwords here that maybe sound a little bit familiar? Yeah. As I listen to this thing, all I'm thinking is this is like a modern KF. He doesn't have the exact cadence and sort of, you know, it comes across differently, but the message, that's coming from KF's playbook, baby. Efficiency and defense? Oh, talk about culture. He says you don't build culture, you recruit it, is essentially what he said. You, by the people that you bring in, that creates your culture. You're not going to bring in five-star talent of kids who are entitled and they think everything should be given to them and they don't have to work hard and then build the culture from them. No. You might find a couple five-stars or really talented guys who already have what you're looking for intangibly, but you're going to build that culture from the inside out. And actually, Kevin joins the show here. Get him in. Yeah, well.
Sorry for being late.
All good. I was just rolling on Ben McCollum and the similarities. I don't know if you got to see any of his opening press conference. I know you're not a big basketball guy.
Unfortunately, I did not, but I've heard nothing but great things about everything he said.
Yeah, I mean, he knocked it out of the park. And dude, as I listened to him, man, it just sounded a lot like it was coming from the KF playbook. I mean,
how
it was,
so?
He talked about Well, first of all, his mentality when it comes to the X's and O's and sort of the philosophy side of basketball, he's an efficiency guy and a defensive guy. I mean, come on now.
Sorry, are we talking about defense, special teams, and make the plays on offense?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there was a wild stat this year that they kept showing in the tournament, and it was points scored with 5 or less seconds on the play clock.
Mm-hmm.
And Drake led the country by over 100 points in that.
Wow.
With like 350, and the next team had like 250. So it's just like they really try to milk the offensive side of the ball. They try to get good shots. They do not commit turnovers. Like, it's a slower paced game because they're using the entire play clock or shot clock, but
slower pace, but theoretically the game actually goes faster.
Right. Yeah. Less turnovers, less stoppage of play. You're looking at it in a way that's like, hey, we're trying to control the ball. We're trying to control time of possession here, right? Like, the way they talk about Ben McCollum is you're going to play his style of basketball.
He's not going to let you play to your strengths, huh?
I agree. Like Grant said, were you on here when Grant was like, we're not going to go to the tournament, and neither are you, because because we're going to control the way you play. It literally is the way it's a very similar style. Oddly enough, Ben McCollum accepts this job, Kevin, at 43 years old, which is the same young, bright age that KF accepted the job back in 1999. So
you're saying if he's not there for the next 26 years, he's a failure.
I'm not saying that, because it's sort of an interesting thing there, because you think about it and you're like, okay, I heard the Iowa Everywhere guys, another podcast, kind of say it this way. They're like, okay, as a Drake fan, what did you want? Right? This was the best case scenario. You wanted him to do as good as you can. Like, you want Drake to succeed, right? He just did it so well that in 1 year, his price went up. At Iowa, it's almost the same thing. Like, if he does so well, and I don't think it's a 1 year turnaround of Iowa basketball, going to be a little bit more tough than that, right? But if he does so well that in 5 years or 6 years when his contract is up, I think they said his contract is 6 years, 3.3 a year.
I mean, coaches' contracts, that's just, you're just telling him how much money he's getting paid.
All right? Contracts are useless now, dude.
If he's getting fired, he's getting paid that regardless. And if somebody else wants to hire him, they're going to buy him out.
They're paying it regardless. It's amazing. If you're a coach, it's a great time. It's great. But really, like, in 5 years, if he's that good and he's like, okay, this guy is now in line for Duke has a relatively young coach, but like one of those blue bloods, right? And they come for him, maybe going to be sad for Iowa fans, but he's going to leave that program in a great spot if that is the case.
Well, I can see if that, you know, back early in KF's tenure, like a lot of NFL teams came calling for him to come be their head coach. I can see that if he were to take Iowa basketball and elevate him to the level where he's a name for those big jobs and the buzz around the program is a lot higher than it's been these last couple of years, I can see Iowa stepping up to pay him. I mean, not as much as some of those programs, but enough for an Iowa City homegrown guy to want to, you know, stay around.
The university and donors and the fan support would certainly be levels above where it currently sits at that point. Yes. He sort of alluded to that too. Somebody asked him his recruiting pitch. Why Iowa, right? Like, if you're a player in the portal right now, you just hopped in from another school, why would you come to the Iowa Hawkeyes? And he said, like, to open that the answer to that question, he's like, I don't know. I think Iowa's pretty special. Like, I think this is a place where, you know, that sounds like cliche, but I think it's, if you're rolling and you're doing good things, this is a place that will support you and the players. So I think you're right there. I hope that's the case. I would love to see it. You and I aren't basketball guys. We don't watch a lot of basketball, but when it's fun to have the university and the sports teams of your alma mater do well. And I tweeted this like 2 days ago. I'm like, I don't even, I watched 40 minutes of basketball combined this year, but this Ben McCollum hire has me fully tented. I'm excited because everybody else is excited. Have you seen his wardrobe, by the way? Like his
he's a suit guy, right?
Shirt and tie, signature look. He would wear the white shirt with a royal blue tie for every single game. And the fans and the students at Drake started to adopt that. So they would, they would wear white t-shirts or even white button down t-shirts or button up t-shirts with a blue tie. They'd come to the game like that. Old guys in the stands are wearing that to the game.
So
obviously you adopt that to Iowa City. Let's get this man a gold tie. Right. And then, you know, there's a couple people who are like, hey, we probably need to get something going for this. So Kev, we already have something in the works here. Let me just show you a little something coming down the pipe.
I love it.
we got the Ben McCollum tie t-shirt coming to a place very near you very soon. And the Hawks by a Million will be on the sleeve. That will be in black, though. That's going to be in black just to give a little better contrast. But that is going to be available very soon. If you're watching the YouTube as we run this back.
Your t-shirt.
Yeah, I will be getting one of these. And I hope that we can fill Carver Hawkeye with this t-shirt right here. I really do. Not only could we support Ben McCollum in his first year and put an incredible look to Carver, hopefully will be much more full than it has been as of recent times. But with the purchase of these t-shirts, obviously you're going to be helping out the UI Children's with our 50% going to them. So it's exciting times around the basketball stuff.
Watch Talladega Nights.
Yeah. Long time ago. I haven't seen it in a very long time.
There's a scene in there where they're talking about, like how they like to imagine Jesus. And one of the guys is like, I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be formal, but I'm here at a party too.
That could be Ben McCollum. He said the words, we need to get it lit up in there. Like he seems to be the best guy for the job. And, hey, no, you can never do better than when you haven't played a game yet. Right. So
the most popular he'll ever, I don't know about ever be, but
damn close, damn close. We're going to get to, some football here because spring football is here, Kev.
I feel sorry for those guys.
Yeah. It's a tough one. It is a tough one. One of the sentences KF said today in his press conference was, it is a time of pure developmental period. I was like, is it? That is tough for the young bucks. But hey, you got to be forged through fire a little bit. You got to encounter a little resistance to elevate your game. A lot of good stuff in a 37-minute press conference. If I was a good podcaster or this was a good show at all, I would have the clips and then I'd play the clip and then we'd talk about it. I'm going to have to describe that to Kevin because I know he didn't watch that either. Started with special teams. Love that. Said he's very confident about having his punter and Reese Dakin and his kicker back. We love that. Special teams. He did finish with the fact that we're going to have a new long snapper this year. Put a little joke in it there at the end. But, he said, this is a time, and I thought of you. He said, this is a time where guys pretty much should grow in the classroom just as much as they grow on the field. And is it 50-50 like that? What's your opinion on that for spring ball?
Yeah, especially young guys is like, if you think about guys who were true freshmen last year, you got thrown into 3 weeks of camp. I guess it's 2 weeks now or whatever.
Yeah, it's 15 days. A lot shorter
than it used to be, where they threw the entire – let's just stick with a defensive player. They threw the entire defense at you in 2 weeks, right? By day three, it's over your head, and they're just installing it for the older guys. You're just trying to follow along as best you can. And at the end of those 2 weeks, guess what? We're into game prep. You're on a scout team now. And you don't come back to your playbook again until right now. And this is a time where they have long meetings, long classroom meetings, to really go slowly and make sure that everyone is getting up to speed on the ins and outs of the defense or the offense. You know?
It was an interesting statement to me just because so for me personally, obviously there wasn't a lot of growing in the classroom to do in the meeting room. Right. That punt playbook was thick, but it I didn't.
Your section of it was quite thin.
It was pretty thin, relatively. So I just know how much these guys, especially like you said, the young guys, grow physically. And we're going to talk about some physical feats happening in the weight room here in a second. Jesus. But man, as much as on the class, on the meeting room side, and I guess that is true. And obviously the guys who can make the biggest jumps are going to, well, those guys are going to be the ones who impact on the field. Obviously asked about Mark Gronowski and his surgery, his recovery, their first impressions of him. He's been around for 2 months. What they're thinking about Mark. He said, interesting way to answer the question. He feels like they know more and feel more comfortable with who Mark Gronowski is as a football player than they do about any other quarterback on their roster. And that's because one of the roster, the quarterback room turnover in just the last year since Lester's come, Sullivan has not been here for a full year. Hank has not been here for a full year. I think there's a couple other guys that are like have no experience or have just joined recently. This is Tim Lester's quarterback room. And because Gronowski has played like 50 games, over 50 games at South Dakota State, they're literally like, we know what we're getting with Mark. And that's a really weird spot to be. They also feel like he is smarter. He said this tongue in cheek, but he's like, I think he's smarter than all the coaches combined. We love to hear that. He said he's Dean's List mechanical engineering.
That's exactly what you want from your quarterback.
You just love to hear that, man.
Love that from your quarterback.
Dean's List mechanical engineering. I was 2.7 GPA health and human physiology. Just completely different stratospheres between me and Mark Gronowski as a intellectual. You want your quarterback to be smart. You'd love for him to have experience. You'd love for him to be a leader. You'd love for him to know how to win. This guy checks all the boxes, and the way that Coach Ferentz talks about him makes me feel good. And I can't explain why, but Kevin, you would understand why if you heard the press conference as well. They're confident in Gronowski. Now, as far as where he's at recovery-wise, said he's a little bit ahead of schedule and that in the next couple weeks as they're out on the field, he will start throwing lightly. So,
not bad.
That's good. That's good. I mean, it's better than him starting in the summer, right? It's as good as we're going to get right now. Very excited about Lester's second year. And he basically said that word for word. He said everybody is. Said it should be a little bit easier to digest as far as learning the playbook. You mentioned a lot of things were put in quickly last year, starting in the spring. A lot of new guys that didn't have a lot of time with it. They're a full year into that now. It's also a time for Coach Tim Lester to iron out things he wasn't able to put in last year. He wasn't able to get in. Also, we didn't have a great passing offense last year. And when they got into the season, they kind of just were like, okay, we're going to figure out how to run the ball really well. And we'll do that.
Yeah. You know, it probably got to the point where it's like, yeah, we're good at this. And let's just focus on being good at what we're good at.
Yeah.
We'll just kind of go from there.
Great idea. Worked really well. Problem is eventually you got to put the full thing together. Right. And so now they finally have that. Again, one of those things where you listen to KF, he's not going to bullshit you very often. He said they're excited about it. So good stuff. Talked about the two new coaches. Well, one's an official coach. One is an analyst, but they're the same goddamn thing in my mind. Threw a backhanded compliment to the Warren Ruggiero guy about how Wake Forest just does not have a lot of support for the football program, but he was able to do great things for them down there. Talked about his role a little bit and how in game week, he's kind of going to be the guy who gets ahead and Sunday is sort of like ultra prepared and giving Tim Lester kind of the tools he needs to start working on the next week right away.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's supposed to be like pretty good. A football mind on the offensive side of the ball. So then you add that to then he's feeding Tim Lester sort of the base of what they need to start the next week. I really like that. And he said that they had three guys as far as this Omar Young running backs coach, three guys that they felt really good about hiring. And this Omar guy kind of separated himself through the interview process. And so, you know, they don't take those things lightly. And if KF is hiring him, I feel like he's probably a great person and knows a lot about football.
Yeah, totally agree.
Have you seen any of the the Twitter clips of Brian from Fresno State?
No.
They've been putting out some content of him in like team like indie period and stuff over there.
Yeah.
It's cool to see him coach like in a different spot. It's just cool to hear him again.
That's good. I'm glad for him.
Yeah. The Elon and the X algorithm knows what they're doing, because like I don't follow any Fresno State people, but their stuff will show up in my timeline. So yeah, seems like on the coaching side they've got stuff figured out there. He got asked about Keeter. Ben Keeter just did pretty well.
Put a tweet out there that it's back to football.
What is this guy doing? I love it. Come play football, man. Come be great. But guy's just like, all right, wrestling. Okay, football. Okay, just kidding. Wrestling. Okay, football. We talked about, I think, once or twice how it's really hard to be great at both. The performance he just put out on the wrestling mat, I mean, is he All-American?
All-American.
It's hard to do.
Hard to do.
Especially in the and then KF just shows off his knowledge of, like, he just starts rattling off like his knowledge of the heavyweight weight class in wrestling. He's like, yeah, there's you know, the three guys at the top of that weight class, they're going to be moving on, and like they kind of dominated this year. I think he described Gable as being in his like 10th year.
He's been there a long time.
He has been there a long time.
Well, I guess, I mean, was he all for 2 years? I don't know. Feels like he's been there for 10 years.
Have you seen that AJ Ferrari kid?
Yeah.
He's, I think, taking like a medical red shirt. He's already taken an Olympic red shirt and a true red shirt. He's going to have like 8 years of eligibility in wrestling. He's got like 3 years of eligibility left.
He's a piece of work.
You and him are like the exact opposites of each other as a human.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, he would. Yeah.
I would love to see
that. Would have been it, yeah.
I would love to see you do a split on a mat and double bird everybody in the crowd.
I don't think I could physically do any of those things.
I know you can't, but I would like to see you try. Interesting with Keeter, because kid just loves football and loves wrestling. Like, he just wants to do both. You would think with the guys graduating at the top of that wrestling weight class, legitimate shot to go and like try and win a natty next year. Like,
if not next year, I mean, he's got a couple years left. So,
yeah.
You know, I've always heard, like, if he wants to be like great at something, wrestling is his sport. But, you know, football's awesome. So,
well, and here's the thing, is like the knock on him this year on the mat, from what I see from the outside, is that he not enough weight. He wasn't big enough. So the idea there is maybe he was smaller. He just hasn't had time to put on size. He's trying to play linebacker at the University of Iowa. Does he move to defensive end?
I mean, I can see he's got the length, I think, right? He's
absolutely
6'3".
Tall, right? Yeah. 6'4", maybe. Does he just move to defensive end, be a real athletic end type guy? Then you can play it 260, 270.
Yeah. Just be like a third down specialist, just rushing the edge. I mean, guy knows how to use his hands well, obviously. So,
I mean, can he pass rush? He can, like,
pick up all the pass rush moves, no problem.
I mean, AJ Epi had literally made his name as like a third down guy. Like, he's playing half the reps on the D line his junior season. Like,
just oh no, but his junior, he was a four down guy.
Okay, I guess maybe his sophomore.
But like his freshman year, like that's all he did was third down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it makes the most sense if he was going to try and do both, that he needs to find a position in football where he can weigh what he's going to weigh in wrestling, because you are not going to play at 230, 235 at linebacker, and then in that amount of time at the end of football season, try and put on 20 or 30 pounds and be at the right wrestling weight to handle those top guys. You're just not going to do it. By the way, the fucking guy who's he's from the Air Force and he saluted Donald Trump after he beat Gable. Is that not the sickest moment in wrestling history?
Yeah, that was probably a pretty cool moment for that kid.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a crazy match. I mean, it was just supposed to be chalked up. Gable wins as another natty. And, you know, the last 30 seconds of that match were incredible.
It's a bigger upset than Spencer last year.
Yeah, probably.
Hard, I mean, dude, yeah. He's an Olympic gold medalist.
I mean, the only thing is that, you know, Spencer got pinned.
True. Yeah, true.
But,
dude, it's crazy to me how even the best, you just get caught wrong.
Sometimes you just get caught, yeah.
Oh, dude.
I mean, that's the thing about wrestling is, like, every second you're on the mat, you have to be on it.
Brutal.
Like a football game, like, yeah, some guy can miss one assignment for one play and, you know, maybe it's a touchdown. Guess what? You can still come back from that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's the difference in the game. Maybe it's not, but you still come back from that. Wrestling, you get caught once and, like, you're in trouble.
Match is over. You get pinned. It's, you're done.
Yeah. What did KF say about Ben? Because, I mean, obviously he's a talented kid. We can find somewhere to put him on the field.
Didn't talk much about the X's and O's or the positionally. He just said that he has not talked to Ben yet. He's had some conversations with Wallace, and they're going to give him 2 to 3 weeks to just rest and chill. So he is not expected to come back and be in spring ball immediate here. Smart. Wrestling is grueling, and KF said that, and his body needs some rest. So
I think we talked about it in one podcast, like back when he was trying to do both. It's like, mm-hmm. We're like going through his schedule. It's like, and then he's going to go through nationals, and then spring ball starts like the next week. It's like, yeah. So that would be absolutely insane.
Yeah. That would be really rough. So good. It's great that they're working with him. I don't think you'll see much from him this spring. Anybody listening to this podcast, don't expect any Ben Keeter updates as far as, you know, what he's looking like on the football field. It'll be positive to hear, you know, him progressing through the summer, and then camp will be big. Like, can Keeter make a push for camp to play significant time and role this fall? How many eggs do you think he eats?
Oh, how much does he weigh? 250? 240?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I imagine he's at least a half a dozen a day type of guy.
You would think, right? Like, I'm thinking about that Hendrickson guy or even Gable Steves. Those heavyweights are pounding eggs, dude.
Totally. Totally. Who was – oh, man. What's – I'm drawing a blank. Our heavyweight a couple years ago,
Cassiope?
Cassiope, yeah. I think he publicly said that he was eating, like, 12 eggs a day.
Some of those guys – you know, bodybuilders, too, like, the way they'll do it is they'll just blend it in the morning shake, and they'll just take it. Straight, like that one, you just raw eggs.
Throw some chicken breast in there too.
Just make it the Logan Lee shake. God, that is one of the crazier stories or tidbits we've ever gotten out of somebody. Logan Lee is huge on eggs. I bet we should call him up and ask how many eggs he's. He's holding up the Iowa egg just the foundation of the Iowa egg industry. Probably.
I'd be curious to see. Like, do you think it's like it's like an 80-20 thing, like 20% of the people eat 80% of the eggs?
Absolutely. I think the people who understand from the fitness and health side of what I do, I do think that protein and the importance of protein and muscle mass is becoming more mainstream. Obviously, for guys like you and me, kind of well-known if you're an athlete, like you got to eat a lot of protein. But for your everyday person, like the whole joke is like, you do not know how much protein you need. Like it's a job to eat enough protein. Eggs are a great way to do it. 6 grams of protein per egg. It's just hard to beat. And there's so many delicious ways you can make them.
Mm-hmm.
I've got more brown eggs waiting for me to crack them open tomorrow morning. I just can't wait to do it. Every morning, I don't get sick of them. It's amazing.
Breakfast, your favorite meal of the day?
No, because I don't get fancy with it. Like, it's literally just eggs in the butter and then salt it and...
Sounds incredible to me.
I mean, it's great, but like usually the chicken and rice or the ground turkey and rice with a little honey mustard sauce for lunch. That's the, although you want to know,
is that your post-workout meal? Cause that's kind of cheating a little bit. Cause every meal post-workout is, it's your pre-workout.
Pre-workout. So the way that, well, I know nobody wants to hear about CrossFit. I am a CrossFit semifinals athlete and I'm doing 2-a-days right now. It's essentially get Kinley to daycare, come home, eat my eggs, first session of the day, do a little bit of work, lunch, a little bit more work, second session of the day. And then the big session's usually in the afternoon. And after that, it's usually a big protein shake, an Oikos yogurt, another 15 grams of protein, and then some kind of carby something sweet. Like literally today I had two chocolate chip cookies.
Hell yeah.
Because you want a little carbs with the protein post-workout. Shuttles that the nutrients and the protein right to the muscles. And then dinner. Shout out to the Iowa Egg Council. That whole conversation was basically to prop them up. Thanks for they'll be with us for another month here and then later on this year. Me and Lauren made enchiladas the other night.
Oh yeah.
Oh, dinner's usually like whatever. You know, it's like it's great, right? We made steak last night. We'll make pasta. We'll eat pizza. Like we eat pretty good dinners. Like we kind of, that's where we kind of splurge. We made enchiladas the other night. God damn. Food's so good, dude.
Whoever invented food just did
God,
a great job.
Good for them. Hey,
can you imagine if we were like plants and we just had to lay out in the sun like for photosynthesis? Ugh.
Get carbon dioxide.
Yeah, we'd be denied this joyous occasion of eating.
Being a plant would suck, dude. That should be a t-shirt.
Can't remember.
Asked about holes in the roster. Back to football here. Asked about the O-line, you know, and then, of course, KF fashion. He talks about the three guys that were out there on Pro Day. Pro Day, by the way, just happened. This is going to come out on Monday. So 1 week ago, the guys did Pro Day. Not as social media forward with the results, at least.
Yeah, they didn't really post any of the
couple guys did, their agents did, but you really had to dig to find the results. The social media team did not. I don't know why that is, but he mentioned Connor Colby, Ellsbury, Mason Richmond, two of the three, which we've had on the show. We should get Connor Colby on here in the next few weeks or months. I'm gonna try and get to him. Obviously big time contributors to the offensive line. Going to leave a couple big holes. Obviously, we have Jennings Dunker, who just set an all-time squat record.
He just eats weight.
Well, him and Logan Lee. Let's just go to that quick. Logan Jones, as our arguably undersized center, just set and I think this is calculated. It's not a true one rep. He didn't get under it. But whatever he did came out to a calculated 720.
Whew.
Kevin, you've been under some heavy squat bars. You were powerlifting for a while.
Yeah, I've never touched anything remotely close to that. Like I put 500 on my back one time. And it felt like when I got out from under it, like I'd shrunk like an inch.
I tried to unrack 585 one time when B. Ross had it on the bar.
Just to hold it
above the hooks. And I got it off the bar, couldn't stabilize, and had to let it crash back down. I couldn't hold it. I just, at 30 years old, after 17 years of lifting weights, PR'd my deadlift the other day. Deadlift, usually most people's heaviest lift, didn't even have 500 on the bar. It was 475. So, and I'm not strong, but like 720 is crazy. Jennings Dunker, 685 or 695, something like that. Kevin, I texted the group when I saw this. We have some freshman linebacker named Preston Rees who squatted a calculated 1RM of 630. Bro. 630? He's a linebacker. He played quarterback last year in high school. I guess 18 months ago, he was a quarterback at Monticello. 2A. Evidently, this kid.
I feel bad for the kids that he played, man. Probably hurt some people.
I retweeted and I said, "Who the hell is this kid?" And I was educated by all of the Iowa high school football ball knowers. They're like, "You should have seen this kid carry Monticello to the state championship last year. He basically did what Cooper DeJean did for OBGYN high school. He just on his back, put the team on his back, played linebacker, kicker, punter, and quarterback."
Well, apparently that's why he can squat so much. He just put everyone on his back and he's just used to having that much weight on his back.
When you carry your team for 4 years in small town Iowa, 630 ain't shit.
Yeah, so that's like I'm just pulling up a one rep calculator. He probably did something around 565 times. So when we do these max out days.
Yeah, explain it.
It's usually like 90 to 93% of your one calc. 1RM calculated, so your one repetition maximum calculated. And so they'll say, all right, we're going to take, say it's 500 pounds. We're going to do 90% of that. So you put 450 on the bar, do as many times as you can. And then say usually you should be able to do 90% three times, right?
Yeah. Like if you, and, if it's a good day and you, yeah.
So then you get like 5, 6, you know, some guys will go off and just get like 8.
Yeah. And the coaches are like, all right, well, his max is going up.
Yeah, exactly. And then they'll bump up your max accordingly.
Yeah. So this kid probably had over 550 plus on the bar and did it 4, 5, 6 times. Like, I cannot imagine, dude.
Yeah. And the reason we do that instead of like one actual like powerlifting one reps, like we don't need guys getting hurt just to see how much they can actually squat.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get a strength assessment on them so we can program workouts accordingly. But we don't need to be like busting out.
Yeah.
Actually putting that much weight on the bar.
Yeah. I cringe every time I see a school post like a hype video or like a highlight of some of their guys hitting a 1RM, and it is a true 1RM. And I'm like, God damn, why are you risking injury?
Yeah, go be a powerlifting team. Like that's not the goal here.
Like you have 5 years to play football and you're risking paralyzation over a one rep max. Like there's 6 guys spotting you. Don't do that. Right. And if you've ever been a client or done one of my programs, I don't remember the last time I personally 1RM'd other than my deadlift the other day. That was the first time in forever. And if I program for clients, I'm doing a 5RM every time. And we're just trying to constantly improve your 5RM, and that'll calculate your 1RM. I don't know. It's crazy. But hey, nonetheless, these guys are fucking strong. Excuse my language. We'll keep going here. Cautiously optimistic that some of these guys that are going to have to fill in the 2 spots on the offensive line are in a better spot than some of these guys that are now graduating were a couple years ago when they had to step in. He thinks they can maintain that standard, and that standard was pretty damn good for the running game last year. He says then in mentions like, hey, if we've got a QB that knows what they're doing, think we have a guy that might fill that role. That'll help on the passing game side, help with the offensive line's pass blocking.
Opens up the run game too.
Yeah, it's yeah,
everything gets a hell of a lot easier when you.
It's looking good all around. I think as far as the offensive line, tight ends, and quarterback goes, I think the big question this year is receiver for the Iowa Hawkeyes, and that's we're gonna have to answer that.
I think we got some suitable guys. You know, Jacob Gill had like a
serviceable.
Yeah, like I think he improved throughout the year and became a pretty solid receiver. You know, Van Der Zee's a young kid, but he's a big target. He's got long arms. Can go up and get it. And then we got Weichenbeck, speedy little guy.
Love that guy.
I think we have enough to do what we need to do in the passing game.
I do too, especially with, you know, supposedly the evolution of Lester's offense in year 2. It'll be exciting to see.
Yeah.
Here's probably the most interesting part of the press conference. They asked about, you know, the roster cuts. Like, they got to be at 105 by August.
Mm.
And he was critical again. He's like, you know, if I could offer some advice on the hindsight here, like, it would have been nice if they would have given us 1 year or 2 years to do this, like, cut down from –
sunrise it.
Like, get to 115 this year and then get to 105 next year.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot easier to do. KF says the words, quote, unquote, like, I think we're in the minority in how we approach this. Back in December, Kev, before the bowl game, they told these guys straight up if they could guarantee them a 105 spot or if they could not.
Okay.
What else would you
expect? I mean, as a player, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Because then it gives you that break over the, you know, it's tight, but you could at least try and get to a new school by spring.
Yeah, you can go transfer, or you know that you've got to fight for your spot this spring.
Yeah, and so he said, you know, right now, the words, roster's pretty much under control. They are where they need to be already, numbers-wise. Okay. So that's great, and I love the way that they did that. He thinks that most schools did not do that, at least from talking to other guys. And
I mean, if you're just going to, like, game theory this out, you're just like, I don't want these guys, this – group of talented people to be on other teams. So from a like the least humane way possible, it is like, yeah, I'm going to hold on to these guys as long as I can.
Yeah.
And then come August or whatever, I'll spit them out into the NCAA and other people won't be able to use them.
But dude, like, just like everything else, like what do you expect? KF plays good ball. You know, he plays good, clean ball. And he, like, this is just one more
thing. The right way to do it.
It's just one more thing that's like, KF, if you've ever questioned him at the helm, just another example of him doing shit the right way, being upfront, being transparent. I guarantee those players are going to already respect and appreciate the way he went about that. And, you know, it was a tough situation for everybody, no matter how you did it. I think he handled it about as good as you could. So I will say, you know, being where they're at and feeling good about where they are roster number-wise already heading into spring ball is a really, really good spot to be. You know, you have who you have, and you know that that's your team that you're going to war with, and you can kind of buy into your 105. Couple departures, somewhat surprising, and this maybe gets them closer to that 105 number, I guess. John Nestor, secondary guy, got a lot of quality time, meaningful time, you know, as a backup the last couple of years, special teams, was someone who we thought was going to elevate, maybe be a starter for us, play real significant role. He enters the portal yesterday, as well as Max White, who is in a walk-on. I don't know the reason for him. Speculation around Nestor having some NIL offers out there that pulled him away. But yeah, a couple guys who, I mean, White's been in the program for 4 years, man. Like he had 9 carries, 38 yards, played a ton of special teams. Just a, you know, one of those blue collar coaches, kids, just cerebral, you know,
still a walk on.
I imagine he was able to go and find some sort of compensation, or at least a role where he was going to have, you know, he could play every down at running back.
What was man? I forget his name. He's from a small town, Northwest Iowa. Noah Clayburg.
Clayburg. Yep.
Yeah. Like he would have been a really good football player, but then he decided to transfer to a small school and like just play like every down there.
I think he went and played quarterback at Dort.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Wild, dude. He was so good on special teams as a true freshman. And then he's just like, nah, D1 football ain't for me.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I can see that. I mean, that's, you know, some people are just like, you know, this is this kid's last year of eligibility. It's like, I want to go play somewhere, you know, I want to go be the running back somewhere or something like that.
And to be honest, Kev, I don't know if there's something that I could respect anymore. Like,
seriously, it's a lot to walk away from.
Dude, these kids that do that shit, they love football and they just want to play. And I felt some of that as a long snapper at times at Iowa. I was cool with it because, damn, it was fun to run out and be part of and be a starter on a Division I football team, play in front of 70,000. I'm a heathen, Kev. That's what I did it for, right? I wanted the lights. I wanted that D1 tag. I wanted the free meals. I did it for all the wrong fucking reasons. I'm a horrible person. Dude, these guys, they don't care. They want to go play and like – every once in a while, I'd have that creeping feeling of like, dude, what if I went D2 and played linebacker? What if I just went to Central where my wife went and just fucking played linebacker for 4 years and just had fun, man? Like, got to tackle people. Would I have CTE? Probably. But with the 4 years, would it have been cool? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't regret a single thing, but man, there is I get it. I understand it. Sad to lose guys in the portal. Seemed like Nestor was going to be a contributor. Last thing I have here is we'll just quickly look at the depth charts. Those came out today. Again, spring depth charts. Who really, you know, who really knows? See if I can get this bigger for Kevin.
Zoom this up.
God, I just don't know how to make it any bigger because it makes it bigger on my screen, but then it doesn't make it bigger on yours. Hey, dude, make it bigger, bro. God, I don't know.
I can read it for the most part.
So we'll start on the defensive side of the ball. Llewellyn Grant, who wasn't able to make it tonight. Grant's got a big boy job. Llewellyn, 6'5", 260, going to be bringing all that experience to the defensive line at the left end spot.
We got Kayvon Merriweather's little brother behind him.
That is not his little brother. I do not think that's his little brother. But Kenneth Merriweather, young kid, a lot of promise, a lot of promise from him in the recruiting cycle, I think. Graves is back. That was a big get again, back at left tackle. Jeremiah Pittman, he came on the show 2 summers ago, currently slotted in as the right tackle, and then Herkett at right end. Dude, I love that D-line. A lot of experience coming back there. At the Leo position, Jackson Rexroth hell of a name.
I think he's a former walk-on kid. I don't know if he's still a walk-on or not, but
Cedar Rapids Xavier. Love it. Middle linebacker Jaden Harrell and will linebacker Carson Shire. We've heard about these guys. We've heard about them.
This is the big question mark this year. And, you know, our podcast with the two outgoing linebackers had a lot of good things to say about these guys. So
a lot of good things.
We'll see.
Over here at left corner, TJ Hall obviously has a ton of experience, looking for him to take the next step. On the other corner, Deshaun Lee, same thing. A lot of experience. We basically just need those guys to elevate, find themselves finally as guys who are like really locked down cornerbacks. And then here's some fun news, Kev. Xavier Wampa is going to be playing free safety, moving over from strong safety.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Cohen Entringer taking over the current one slot at the strong safety. What do you think there? What's the idea behind that move, you think?
You know, I think Cohen Entringer might just be a little bit more athletic and, you know, that
isn't it crazy to say that he's more athletic than Xavier Wampa, the five-star?
Yeah, you know.
He's more suited for that role.
Yeah, there's a few things. Like, you want your strong safety to be a little bit more of a thumper, come up and make plays. And we also ask our strong safety to do, like, get put in some stressful situations that some extra athleticism really helps out with.
Yeah. Over on the offense, oh my God, I just did what everybody, what I rail people for. I didn't even tell the specialists. We already talked about them. Drew Stevens, Reese Dakin, and then Ike Speltz out of Van Meter, very close to Waukee over here. Wearing number 97, my guy. Going to be our current long snapper. Love to see it. On the offensive side of the ball, returning, Bo Stevens, Logan Jones, Jennings Dunker. Those will be the three that you know. Cade Pieper. Eichholt's been huge on this guy. He thinks he could step in and be a player right away over on right guard. Left tackle currently have Jack Dotsler and Trevor Lauk behind him, a young guy, both guys who I've heard great things about. We'll see. Like I said, KF said they feel like good things.
And as the last time we had a little bit of offensive line rebuild, which was a couple of years ago, is, you know, this guy's coming in as a junior to start versus, like, remember, think back to like 21, 22, like these were all young guys stepping into the
young sophomores, freshmen. Mm-hmm. You look at the tight end position, you got the two studs, the two, you know, Estrenga and Ortworth, they're going to be there. Like, we lose Lachey. I don't think we lose a whole lot, though. We're going to fill right in with those two guys. Kamari Moulton, Jazzy and Patterson, kind of crazy we retain Jazz. In my opinion, like, to be honest, but those are our two guys at running back. We know what we're getting with them. I'm excited to see what they can do with them sharing those two reps. Currently without Gronowski, Sullivan is our number one. Hank Brown is our number two at quarterback. And then the wide receivers that we talked about, probably the area where we need to find something is Jacob Gill, Seth Anderson, the transfer we got from Charleston Southern a year ago, and then RVZ, the young kid, just imagine if he's put on some, he says he's 207. Guy's got a frame on him. So you gotta like what you see. I mean,
there's potential here. There's definitely potential here. And it's going to come back to, like, what type of play can we get out of our quarterback? Can our wide receivers step up and make the next, take the next step in their development? And can we plug those holes in the offensive line?
Hey, it's all about plugging holes, man.
Yeah, we're a big plug in holes podcast.
Go plug them holes. No, I think you're right. It's almost like we've been lulled over the past 4 years. And again, nobody's fault. We had injuries. We just couldn't find the right guy. We just couldn't. Last year, we didn't have guys in the system long enough. We've almost been lulled into a spot where we don't really remember what it's like to have a quarterback that really can control the offense. He commands that offense. And I think it goes unsaid. Nate Stanley,
2019.
Nate Stanley. I think it's so underrated what happens when you have a guy that can do that, how that opens up the other positions. And if we can get that, Kev, we might see some shit this year that we just haven't seen in a while. I'm excited for it. Shout out to the Iowa Egg Council. Fill those holes with some eggs. I don't know. That's enough.
Only one. There's only one acceptable hole to do that with.
I got to get off here before we get canceled. Shout out to Iowa Ag Council and everybody else for listening to the show, joining Kev and I, talking about Iowa football, what we love to do. We'll be back. I think we got Deontay Craig.
W.
Got that dub. Yeah, we got him. We got Lima coming up on a spring ball episode. Lots more coming down the pipe. And that's how we'll end it. Eat your eggs. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.